You're listening to Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickert. Coming up, national polls show a lack of support for major party presidential candidates from younger voters. We'll talk to an expert and try to find out why. Now it's time for Wisconsin Life. Here's executive producer Erica Janik.
Mildred Fish Harnack was the only American woman executed by Hitler during World War II. Writer Meg Jones tells us about the Milwaukee-born literature teacher turned spy.
Mildred Harnack spent her last hours reading Walt Whitman. She knew exactly where and when and how she was going to die. I wonder what she was thinking in those last moments before she was beheaded at a prison near Berlin. All that's known of her final thoughts were the last words she spoke to a chaplain. She told him right before the guillotine blade fell, "And I have loved Germany so much." Mildred Harnack is a World War II hero who didn't earn any medals and whose name seemed to be lost to history until recently. She was the only civilian American woman executed on direct orders of Adolf Hitler. She grew up in Milwaukee and earned a degree at the University of Wisconsin in Madison, where she met a German exchange student named Arvid Harnack. They got married at Picnic Point on Lake Mendota and moved to Germany in 1929. Mildred and Arvid were communists at a time when communism was not yet considered evil. It was the 1930s, and much of the world was mired in the Great Depression. Arvid was an economist in Germany's government. Mildred taught English literature and translated English language books into German. When Hitler and the Nazi Party rose to power, Mildred and Arvid became alarmed and began to pass government secrets to the Soviet Union. They became part of what the Nazis called the Red Orchestra, a code name for the anti-Nazi resistance movement in Germany. Mildred translated Franklin Roosevelt's speeches into German, as well as news from America, which was printed in leaflets quietly distributed as a way to bypass the Nazi-controlled press. I think the saddest part of Mildred's fate is that all of the secrets passed to the Soviets fell on deaf ears. The Red Orchestra told Stalin that Germany would invade the Soviet Union, but Stalin didn't believe it. And it was the incompetence of their Soviet spy handlers that led to the capture of Mildred, Arvid, and their friends. They were rounded up in the fall of 1942, and almost all were sentenced to die, except Mildred. Initially, she was sentenced to 5 years in prison because judges believed her lawyer's argument that she was merely a German Hausfrau following her husband's orders. But Hitler intervened and ordered her to be retried with only one outcome: execution. Arvid was slowly strangled on a meat hook. 2 months later, it was Mildred's turn to die. And this is going to sound strange, but the Nazis actually considered it a favor to Mildred to kill her by guillotine because it was a quick death. After the war, the Red Orchestra became a silent footnote to history. Even though the Soviets were America's allies during World War II, they quickly became enemies as an Iron Curtain dropped across Europe. Instead of being hailed as patriots who tried to stop Hitler and end the war, Mildred, Arvid, and the rest of the Red Orchestra were considered traitors because they were communists. In the last decade or so, however, that's changed. And Mildred Harnack has been featured in books and documentaries. And in Wisconsin schools, September 16th is celebrated as Mildred Harnack Day. It's her birthday.
Meg Jones is a reporter for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel and the author of World War II Milwaukee. Wisconsin Life is a co-production of Wisconsin Public Radio and Wisconsin Public Television in partnership with the Wisconsin Humanities Council. Additional support comes from Lowell and Mary Peterson of Appleton. Find more Wisconsin Life on our website, wisconsinlife.org, and on Facebook. I'm Erica Janik.
Joining us now to tell us more about the life of Mildred Fish Harnack is Arthur Heitzer, president of the Milwaukee Turners. 30 years ago, his efforts helped convince our state to designate September 16th as Mildred Fish Harnack Day. Arthur, welcome to Central Time.
Thanks very much for having me.
Do you think that after all this time, we fully appreciate and understand the legacy and the story of Mildred Fish Harnack and her husband Arvid?
No, I know that because we just had doors open in Milwaukee, and we were leading tours of in Turner Hall, where there's a picture and plaque for her, and we asked how many people have ever heard of Mildred Fish Harnack, and pretty much nobody. So, and the idea that it's really being taught and noted in the schools, which the state law requires on September 16th, which I guess was last Friday, does not seem to be strictly observed, I guess I would put it that way. So, I mean, it's an amazing story, but it's somewhat but not very well known in the state or in this country, for that matter.
And you played a part in getting Wisconsin to observe September 16th, last Friday, as Mildred Fish Harnack Day. What did you tell the people who are making that decision about why this day mattered?
Well, the particular timing of that was that President Reagan had decided to go to a cemetery, Bitburg, in Germany, and lay wreaths where SS soldiers were buried. And a lot of people were very upset by that in this country and state and around the world, for that matter. So we felt that this was a good and appropriate time for at least the state to honor the only American who was executed for being part of the German resistance, Hitler. And, you know, she was not German. She was not Jewish. She was of English stock. When she died, her last words were, "And I love Germany so much." But she was an internationalist and a patriot in the highest sense, and an extremely accomplished scholar. She was a pioneer in having people in Europe recognize American literature as its own field, and taught and translated, etc., and used her skills and gave her life to defeat the Nazis.
I understand she had a close friend who had high connections in this country, in Washington, so she was able to, sort of on the sly, obtain some visas for people that she was trying to help. How did that work, and why did that connection not serve her when she was trying to avoid execution?
Well, one of the elements of her courage and dedication is that under the Third Reich, she did visit the U.S., and her husband, who was German-born, and she was Milwaukee-born, wanted her to stay here and be safe, but she was dedicated to go back and finish the process. So she went back to Germany. You know, at the time that she was executed, I think, among other things, Hitler was looking to make an example of the U.S. For our involvement in the war, and this was the only civilian that he had in his hands from the U.S. So I don't think we had any big leverage in doing anything here. She was a close confidant of the U.S. embassy and stationed there to the degree it continued to exist. Martha Dodd was the daughter of the U.S. ambassador. If people are familiar with the book In the Garden of the Beasts, by Eric Larson, was a bestseller about 3 years ago, and that talked about the Dodd family, and Mildred's mentioned many times. So she was intimate with that. Donald Heath, who was in charge after the ambassadorial level was ended, was very close to Arvid and Mildred as well, and I had close contact with some of Donald Heath's children, who were extremely moved and touched by Mildred's presence and by her loss.
When did you first get involved in the story and learn about her, and not just learn about her, but feel a personal connection that drove you to action?
Well, I got out of law school in 75, and it was not long after that. And there was a publication that originated in East Germany, actually, that was republished here in the U.S. about Mildred from Milwaukee, and it said that her story should be known and honored in the U.S., and I certainly agreed with that sentiment, having learned about her for the first time. And then, you know, she had a sister then living in Wauwatosa, and she had a niece who had lived with her, who was living in Chevy Chase, Maryland, who I interviewed at some length. I tried to preserve some of the record that was still available here, and then looked at the UW archives, and basically tried to get people to know something about her. Because, as I think your intro mentioned, she and her husband Arvid were honored in the East. There was a postage stamp in their honor, for example. And we felt that as the only American who gave her life as part of the German resistance, that people in the U.S. should know about her and honor her as well.
You mentioned that you felt that the teaching of her life story was only maybe honored sort of loosely here in Wisconsin and maybe in the Milwaukee area. What would you say to encourage educators listening right now to include her in the curriculum?
Well, we have so many issues today, issues of cross-cultural identity and challenges, issues of immigration, etc. Mildred was, a heroine in every sense of the word. She was an internationalist. You know, one of the things she did with her linguistic skills in Germany during the Second World War, when countries were occupied, they would, the German guys were all busy fighting, so they would bring in occupied people from France, Poland, Czech Republic, other countries to work in the munitions factory. So they had resistance group with the Harnacks and others had circulated newspapers in about five different languages urging these people to resist and not to give a wholehearted loyalty to building these munitions. So those issues of, should we fear the other people from other countries are threats to us, etc. Those are live issues. The idea that someone could be a first-rate academic person and still act courageously is something that probably is a challenge that might inspire people who are learned and dedicated to know that they can also act outside of the ivory tower.
Arthur, thank you so much for joining us and telling us about her today.
Thank you for inviting me.
That was Arthur Heitzer, president of the Milwaukee Turners, and we've been talking about the life of Mildred Fish Harnack. Coming up, we'll talk about why younger voters don't seem to be supporting major party candidates and looking at how that might play out on Election Day. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickert here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.